Hi, this is John Christopher for Real Life, and today I have as my guest again Ian Smith, who is a builder of businesses. Ian, how are you today?
I'm good, John. How are you doing?
Well, as I said before, you've been on the program a number of times, and we've talked about mergers and acquisitions the last time, but today I thought we'd talk about organic scaling. What is scaling, and what does that mean?
Yeah, so there really is only two ways of building businesses, and sometimes we don't think of it that way. We make it more complex, but it really is by acquisition or organically. And I talk about scaling because if you take the Inc. 500 or the Inc. 5000 or some other table of fast-growing businesses, it implies only one thing, that the top line is flying along, which is, you know, great. But that doesn't, for me, mean scaling. Scaling, my definition is, it's a mnemonic. I think of it as C for control. So control has to be there, alignment has to be there, predictability has to be there, and surprisingly, safety. So if you
safety.
Look at high growth,
why safety? Safety?
Yeah, well, because if you look at high growth companies, the last thing that they're worrying about is safety. They're almost like flying along so fast that everything's great. Like, you know, how can you complain? You've got a great top sales line. But the trouble is, you could be totally underservicing the clients. You're stretching yourself beyond, you know, the capability of the company, and yet the orders are coming in. And really, so many of these companies end up being firework. You know, they absolutely beautiful trajectory, and then they just implode. And so I think safety, you know, most entrepreneurs are very conscious that they're running something that is quite risky. Every business is basically got risk in it. And I think what I like about a mindset of scaling is it tries to actually de-risk the company, because if you can get scaling right, what it basically means is you're going to align all of your costs to the sales line, so that as you grow the top line, you're not going to wait till it's too late to put in place the resources, the technical skills, the marketing skills, the customer support skills. You're not going to wait till it's too late. And often people do, and suddenly it starts, you know, imploding. And I think that most people would love a top line flying along, but you have to be a wee bit careful you don't get ahead of yourself. And quietly, you build behind that. And I've spoken to a lot of public company executives on the East Coast who started literally from the garage and built public companies. And that's the bit they had to keep managing, that growth. It's the managing of that growth that scaling sort of mindset that develops. And I think it's important.
Do you think that's one of the biggest mistakes that entrepreneurs make?
Yeah, I think what it is, inside that scaling, I think there's something that's probably stands head and shoulders above the rest, and that's alignment. So if you ask, say, Salesforce CEO, who has built a phenomenally powerful sales business called Salesforce and several others, if you ask them, what would you have done differently from the start? And often the pain they went through was they didn't align everyone's sort of objectives with the corporate objectives. And so you had departmental kind of silos. You know, they weren't talking to each other. And it's the same with costs. You know, as you add costs on, you've got to be awfully careful that as you grow the top line, you don't sink the margins because you pile on the costs. And so it's a fine balance between not putting on any costs and putting on too many costs. And that alignment piece of sales and costs and getting everyone on the same page is the biggest mistake I see again and again. I just don't see that's one big piece. And related to that is storytelling. And we've talked about this a few times.
Oh, right.
I mean, you know, this whole business of people suddenly have found the desire to put up, you know, brand new websites again and again, which is great ambition. It's just that they can't write. You know, I mean, who is writing these websites? Because I'm telling you, let's just, you know, go surf this afternoon randomly 20 websites and ask yourself if you understand what the company does. I mean, it's just dreadful. I'm hoping to speak to some New York-based entrepreneurs soon on that one subject, just that subject of storytelling. But because if you get who you are, the positioning part right, and then start aligning everything to that positioning, the next piece you must get right is the storytelling piece. And I find it's weak. It's weak. The marketing, therefore, the words are weak. And why is that? I don't know. I can't put my finger on why people are bad at it, other than that they don't seem to see the importance of it. Because once you start telling a bad story, you know, the search engines and everything else, you know, everything's driven the wrong way then, because the story isn't right. And, it's not easy, but those are the two biggies for me for, you know, why entrepreneurs don't quite get it right.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, here's another question. Just to digress, because we're talking about management coming in and
right.
taking over a company. What do you think
right.
about, how do you pronounce that? Holacracy? Zappos is using it?
Yes, the kind of lack of formal structure almost.
Exactly. Do you think
yeah.
What you're saying, that goes against that completely, doesn't it?
Well, we have some version of command and control structures for 195 years for a reason. I mean, I do struggle. Now, I was studying some of the articles. I'm not involved in it, but I'm studying some of the articles. And my only worry is that people, with that kind of structure, you're really giving yourself a very, very high bar to try and get over to get alignment going, because I don't see how one can disseminate objectives across departments that link with the big objectives, the big audacious goals of the owners, with no structure, or at least a lack of structure.
It's like saying, okay, who is the boss?
Yeah, I mean, who's the boss, and how am I going to satisfy your expectations of me? So, you know, I believe that a company should demand, I don't care whether it's a chairman or a president or a CEO, the company as a person, if you like, says, okay, you're the chief operating officer or this chief financial officer. This is what our expectations are of you, just as much as a payroll clerk or any important role in a company. And I think if you take away structure, who's telling people what's expected of them? People want to be led. I mean,
right.
they really want to be led. And so I am very, very...
Isn't that in our genes? I mean, it goes back to cavemen, right?
Well, I just think I think Martin Sorrell said it really, really well many, many years ago. He runs WPP, the biggest advertising agency in the world. He said that what we really have to create is corridors of freedom. In other words, give people some structure and then get out of the way.
Right. Okay. Now, how can somebody get in touch with you, Ian?
I think probably the best way is the email address, which is quite simple. It's ian@tpp, that's Tom Paul, TPP, ian@tppboston.com.
Great. And you also have a blog site. What's that called?
Yeah. The blog site is the best one to use is if you just go to the portfoliopartnership.com.
And that leads you right into that, right?
That leads me right into that. And particularly I would recommend the blog part of that, because it's obviously free.
Mm-hmm.
And there's over 470 posts there.
That's fabulous. Great. Ian,
good information.
Ian, it's been a delight having you on the program. This is John Christopher, and we'll be right back with our next guest.